Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, my guest today is Juliana Tamirazi. She is the founder and president of the Iraqi Christian Relief Council, and she is a senior fellow with the Philos Project. She started the Iraqi Christian Relief Council to help foster awareness about the plight of Iraqi Christians and to raise funds to deliver food, shelter, and medicine to Iraq. And her own unique story as a refugee has made her a strong leader and an unshakable voice for Christians in Iraq today. Juliana, welcome to the broadcast.
I'm so happy to be with you. Thank you for having me on, Pastor.
Now, you know, people here in America often sort of have a mindset. If anybody stops us and causes us to think, we know better. But when we're not thinking carefully, we sometimes sort of act as if Christianity started out here and that the first Christians spoke English, and Christianity is spreading now from the United States all around the world, and everybody everywhere ought to be grateful that we're ready to go and teach them how to read an English Bible. And,
yes.
And of course, that's not at all correct, is it?
Christianity is a Middle Eastern religion. The Assyrian Christians of Iraq, who are the children of those Ninevites who repented from their wicked ways through Jonah the prophet, they converted to Christianity, to the way of Christ, through St. Thomas the Apostle. So we accepted Christ, and we've paid a very heavy toll. First under the Persian Zoroastrians, mm-hmm. and then under Arab Muslims, starting 14 centuries ago. And yes, Christianity is a Middle Eastern religion, but you know exactly what you just said, Pastor. You're so correct. A lot of people believe that Christianity is really indeed a Western religion.
And it isn't. We are the ends of the earth. When the Bible talks about the gospel spreading to the ends of the earth, that's us. We got it last. And so we are very, very blessed that we were included at all. But when we look back to our brothers and sisters in the Middle East, we need to realize we owe a debt of gratitude to those early believers there in the Middle East who came to faith in Jesus Christ and who have sought to be faithful through, as you mentioned, centuries and centuries of persecution.
Yes, in fact, the Assyrian Christians took Christianity to India, to China, to the Philippines. And if you Google Aramaic inscription in China, you will see images of these ancient Christians that had gone to China and to convert China to the pagans or non-believers mm-hmm. into Christianity. You will see the remnants of their work still existing in China.
Amazing. Now, your own story, you started your life in Iran, but because of religious persecution there, you were smuggled as a youngster into Switzerland. How old were you, if I may ask, when that happened?
I was a teenager. I was 16 years old when I was smuggled into Switzerland and then again into Germany. I lived through the revolution, 1979. I was 6 years old. Mm. And then I went through the eight-year war between Iran and Iraq. We used to escape to shelters, or we would stand by the staircases when we were bombed by Iraqis. Mm-hmm. In fact, one of my friends, very good friends, died in one of the missile attacks. Mm. So I went through all of that. And the harassment that was inflicted on me and my family was very much prominent among, you know, Muslims inflicting that sort of harassment against the Christians. We were told that we would burn in hell for our Christian faith.
Mm-hmm.
In school, in the mornings, there is always a morning prayer.
Yes.
That Muslims do. And from time to time, the kids and some teachers would corner me and would try to force me to say the Shahada,
mm-hmm.
which is a surah in the Quran that
yes.
would automatically convert people to Islam, and I would refuse to do so.
Mm-hmm.
So finally, my father decided to get me out of the country that no longer welcomed me.
Even though it's difficult to undergo persecution as you did in Iran, to leave all of that behind, to sort of give up and say, God has another place for me elsewhere, that took faith.
Indeed it did. And for me, personally, I never had much love for Iran. I'm being very frank with you.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to live in a Christian country, and ever since I was a child, I was enamored with America, with the American way of life, with the religious freedom that existed in America. So as soon as the opportunity came for us to make our way to the United States, I never looked back. I still have not looked back. My home is the United States of America.
Bless you. Well, we're glad to have you, but we
Thank
appreciate
you.
The wisdom that you gained from difficult experience and that you bring with you here. Now, you came to the U.S. and then got an education here, getting a master's degree from Northeastern Illinois University. And so you didn't sort of come over here and then say, all right, I'm going to just get on the government dole and take it easy. You have been a tireless advocate for believers in the Middle East, haven't you?
Yes, I politically I'm a conservative. I don't believe in dependency and welfare system if I'm young enough to be able to work and if I'm capable, I should be able to work because
mm-hmm.
I believe creativity and ingenuity comes when we have that sort of life, that sort of freedom. I came from an oppressed nation, and I remember that creativity was stomped upon in Iran. So, and when I came to the States, I said, I will do everything in my power to be a successful woman, to set an example for other Christian women that are coming from the East.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, indeed, because of what I've been through, because of my displacement, my parents took me out of school for 2 years, and I was out of school. I lived as a refugee, so I understood the plight of these Christians in the Middle East who are suffering for Christ.
Yes.
And I have to tell you, Pastor Wood, I will never dare say I was persecuted in Iran any longer.
Mm.
I say I was harassed,
mm-hmm.
because this is real martyrdom.
Mm.
This is real persecution, what these people are going through.
Yes.
And if I could be their voice in the West, with all the graces that the Lord has bestowed upon me, I will. And, you know, the Lord called, and I answered, and I said, Lord, I'm here, send me.
Bless you. Now, you talk about those who are being martyred today. Share with our listeners a bit of what you know is going on.
My goodness. There's so much to say, Pastor. The Christians in Iraq who are ethnically Assyrian,
mm-hmm.
not Syrian, Assyrian,
right.
you know, from the biblical time.
Yes.
The Assyrians have lived there for 6,700 years. They have faced persecution for many centuries. 1914 through 1918 was their major genocide under the Ottoman Turks and Kurds.
Mm-hmm.
Two out of three Assyrians were killed in that time frame. My own great-grandmother, two of her sisters were kidnapped and killed by the Kurds. My great-grandfather died on his property along with 2,000 Assyrians that he had housed.
Mm.
I have 8 martyrs in my own family.
Mm-hmm.
And but fast forward to 2003, when the United States went into Iraq to liberate or to invade it, however your political sentiment is,
mm-hmm.
Al-Qaeda found its safe haven inside Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
And they wreaked havoc on not only Muslim lives, but especially on Christian and other minorities' lives.
Yes.
They attacked our churches. These are churches that are 1,500 years old, over 1,000 years old, and they destroyed them. They destroyed the manuscripts.
Mm-hmm.
Manuscripts, many of the churches have been destroyed. At the time, we were 1.6 million Assyrian Christians there. Today, we have barely 200,000 left across the country in Iraq. Everyone fled in front of our eyes, and the world did nothing.
Yes.
It did nothing. And until 2014, when ISIS came along, it changed the conversation with its brutality that they showcased in social media. We have women, Christian women, that have been enslaved and being sold in sex slavery as we sit here and as I speak with you today. There have been many men who have been executed, and all of this because they are a Christian. All of this they endured. They gave up their lives because they were given two options, to convert or to die.
Mm-hmm.
And they fled. Those who were able to flee fled.
Mm-hmm.
And they have resorted to live in terrible, terrible conditions, Pastor.
Yes.
I've been to the region many times, and I've seen it with my own eyes.
Your organization, I'm told, has helped thousands of displaced Christians throughout Iraq with food and shelter and medicine, and I'm sure partnering with other groups as well to do so. But as you have made appearances on Fox News, Wall Street Journal Live, Newsmax, and a number of Christian radio programs, you continue to raise awareness within the body of Christ about the fact that these are our family members. These are our brothers and sisters, and they are experiencing horrible persecution at this time. The first thing, obviously, that we must do is to pray. If we fail to intercede on behalf of our brothers and sisters, then we are directly disobeying the one we call Lord. We must pray for one another. And yet there is more that we can do in terms of practical help, because there are folks who are providing shelter, providing food. And how is it possible for believers who want to do something to make a difference?
Yes, prayer is first and foremost. Fasting, if people do fast, is extremely important.
Good.
But prayer needs to be accompanied by deeds, by
mm-hmm.
good deeds.
Mm-hmm.
So if your listeners could go to victimsofisis.org, victimsofisis.org, there you will see a lot of our work that has been done on the ground, not only in Iraq, but in Jordan, Turkey, Lebanon, and Syria. In 2014, we were able to help 130,000 Christians in the region. In 2015, we helped 155,000 Christians.
Marvelous.
And we also help those who come here to be settled here.
Yes.
We have been doing this work since 2007. We help with food, shelter, medicine, clean water, any necessities that they have.
Mm-hmm.
So for the last 13 years, especially within the last 2 years, Pastor Wood, they have lived in limbo, whether they've been outside Iraq, in Jordan, or living in slums in Turkey,
mm-hmm.
hiding their Christianity, especially in Turkey. Now are getting ready to return to their homes. Not all, but most.
Mm-hmm.
Why are they returning? Because of Mosul operation.
Mm-hmm.
There have been, the Christian cities have been liberated.
Praise
in northern
God.
Iraq.
Praise God.
But they're going back to ground zero. Pastor, everything has been leveled. The homes have been leveled or booby-trapped. The churches have been burnt. They used to use them as training camps for
mm-hmm.
ISIS.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them have been burnt. Some of them have been completely destroyed. So this is from an economic standpoint. They have lost everything
mm-hmm.
completely. The infrastructure is all gone.
Mm-hmm.
But emotionally, many of them have lost their mothers to sex slavery, so they're going to be returning. Kids will be returning back without their mothers.
Mm-hmm.
Many of fathers have been executed by the Islamic State. Many children are kidnapped today, so parents are returning to their homes that are pretty much leveled without their family units intact. So we in order for us to promote, to bring in healing into their lives, we are starting to, we're starting a campaign called Operation Return to Nineveh. Operation Return to Nineveh. Mm-hmm. On November 15th, we're launching this. And I encourage, I invite all of your listeners to go to victimsofisis.org and really embrace these poor Christians that have been completely devastated in their Christian embrace, mm-hmm. in their Christian arms. Help with prayer, help with funding. There are so many projects that people can donate towards, from restoring churches to basic necessities, food, mattresses. Now winter is upon them. Mm-hmm. And northern Iraq is very cold because it's mountainous, and it's very it has beautiful, beautiful hills. Mm-hmm. And so I would encourage, if there are listeners among you who are pastors in churches who want to help restore these destroyed churches, please contact us through victimsofisis.org. We're looking for partners to restore churches.
Excellent.
If there are people who want to give food to these individuals, you can do that. There are so many ways you can get involved. We're living in the age of genocide.
Mm-hmm.
And if we had the opportunity to act Christ-like when the Holocaust was underway and we didn't do it, or we were not alive then, mm-hmm. this is our chance.
Yes.
Secretary Kerry called it genocide. Let us truly live out our Christian faith and clothe the ones that don't have clothing and feed the ones who are hungry.
Amen.
The organizations we work with on the ground in Iraq is the Assyrian Aid Society of Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
They've been around since 1991. They were nominated for Nobel Peace Prize in 2016. In Jordan, we work with the Assyrian Church of the East Relief Organization.
Mm-hmm.
The same with in Turkey as well.
Very good. Well, again, I think it's marvelous when the Lord makes it possible for us to link up with someone who knows the actual situation on the ground and has contacts so that resources can be used wisely. And we are grateful that the Lord has caused our paths to cross. And while you and I have not even met face to face, I know that you met with one of our dearest friends when you were in South Carolina recently. And so I'm very thankful that the Lord brought you into our path and that we have the opportunity to introduce you to our listeners and introduce them to your work and encourage you. Folks, if you're listening right now and God is speaking to your heart about being a part of this, go to the website, and it's victimsofisis.org, victimsofisis.org. Did I get that right, Juliana?
Yes, thank you, Pastor. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. We're also on Facebook under Iraqi Christian Relief Council. We're also on Twitter, for those who are interested, under the handle name Iraqi Christian. We're a very transparent organization. We are a 501c3. And I hold the organizations I work with accountable for every dollar that is spent on the ground in this region. We get people's names who are helped, how many people per family, how much money is given to each family. Mm-hmm. We get their photos and video. So because I go to the region so much, I meet these individuals that we've helped over time. Transparency is extremely critical.
Yes.
And we have to be careful with who we give money to and make sure mm-hmm. that the money does go to the Christians at the end.
Amen. And that's one of the problems that a lot of folks have had with some of our government's action, is that there has been resistance, really, in the view of many of us, on the part of our federal government to direct aid toward the Christians who are being persecuted. And so the opportunity for those of us who are believers and who care about our brothers and sisters in the Middle East to be able to do something that actually gets to the persecuted Christians is a great encouragement. It's refreshing, and we appreciate so much your willingness to be used by the Lord in this way. Now, Juliana, you mentioned that your parents helped you to get out of the situation there in Iran when you were a teen. Did I understand your parents also left Iran along with you?
Yes, yes. My entire family is here, thanks be to God. My father is since passed on, mm-hmm. But the rest of us are here. And we are blessed that we were able to actually be one together as one family.
Because, absolutely.
On many occasions, families are torn apart.
Absolutely.
The parents are sent to Switzerland or Australia, and the kids are sent to Canada. Mm-hmm. We were able to come all together as one family unit to the United States.
Praise the Lord. Now, you learned to be multilingual at a young age. And you're obviously very fluent in English, but you've got a few other languages that you also speak. What are those?
Oh, I speak Aramaic. That's my mother language, mm-hmm. The language of Christ. And there are about only 4 million of us left in the world who speak Aramaic.
Yes.
I speak Farsi since I was born and raised in Iran. And I have lived in Italy for a few months, and I have Italian relatives from Italy, so I speak a bit of Italian as well. The Lord has been very good to me, and I'm beyond blessed, beyond what I deserve. And that's why I, on a day-to-day basis, I try to serve Him at any capacity that He asks of me.
Well, I am so grateful for your desire to serve Him and your appreciation for what He's done for you. You prick our conscience as it needs to be disturbed when you talk about the suffering of our brothers and sisters. Folks, we need to realize that this is family, and our family has tremendous needs right now around the world. And this is an opportunity for some of you to get involved in a way that you haven't been before. And so I want to encourage you to learn more about Juliana's work. Go to victimsofisis.org and begin by praying and asking the Lord to show His mercy. And then ask the Lord if there's something that He would have you do. Because, again, not everybody's called to do the same thing. I know folks who have just a huge heart for the inner city. And I know other people who have a huge heart for rural areas. And I know other people who have a tremendous burden for Latin America. And other people who have a tremendous heart for Asia. And you need to do what God tells you to do. But some of you are saying, good grief, I'm not doing anything for anybody. I need to figure out what God wants me to do. Well, visit the website and ask the Lord, Lord, what would you have me to do? How would you have me to pray? What would you have me to give? How can I make a difference? What would please your heart, Father? Because that's what it's all about, is doing His will. He loves these folks, and He loves you, and He wants you to experience the joy of serving Him. Juliana, thank you so much for being with us today. We pray God's blessing on you, and I hope that if God ever gives you the opportunity to visit East Tennessee, that you will come and visit Ware's Valley Ranch.
I would love to, Pastor. I would love to come visit with you, and those of you who are listening, if you would like us to come to your parishes, for us to your congregations, and bring a human face to this massive, massive problem, mm-hmm. this persecution. Please let us know. We travel throughout the country, and we minister in different churches. So we would welcome any speaking opportunities, and it would be an honor for me to meet you, Pastor Wood, and thank you for everything that you do for the kingdom of God.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
God bless you.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.